This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell. Of course, especially to my own home nation of the United States of America, which apparently is facing another serious hurricane. I'm very much concerned about my native state of Louisiana. Those places that the hurricane is now going toward, they seem to be hunting out pockets and areas of Duke support. It's really amazing how this hurricane seems to be targeted at just the wrong areas in terms of my own support. I got a lot of votes out in the area of Vermilion Bay. Cajun Country gave me a great vote for the United States Senate and for governor. Also, all the way up into Alexandria, the western parts of Louisiana, all the rural areas of Louisiana, I carried by about 80% of the European American vote. And now the hurricane's headed right there for my good friends and neighbors and supporters of rural Louisiana. And I hope that they're going to come through this storm okay. I'm really concerned about it, as I just hate to see this happen to my beloved state. It's a beautiful state. We have fantastic wetlands. In fact, all the way across South Louisiana, we've got the richest and most wonderful wetlands in all of the United States. There's more wildlife. There's more more estuaries for the fish. I mean, it's just incredible. It's actually a very vital part of our economy. And these hurricanes, of course, do terrible damage to those wetland areas. And I pointed this out, that the wetlands have been sorely neglected by the federal government in this part of Louisiana. They're busy trying to take away farmers, little patches of wetland in some farm in Iowa or Idaho. But we have these vast areas of public land wetlands, and the government does nothing to protect them. And Bush's budget, by the way, for last year, a perfect example of that, was that he wanted to give $7 million to help protect the coastal erosion, destruction of our marshes and wetlands in Louisiana. By the way, these wetlands are vital for hurricane protection, because as you lose wetland, you lose protection from your more populous areas. They form a natural barrier. For every one square mile, the wetland will reduce storm surge of a hurricane, just 1 mile by a half a foot. So you see, the wetlands are extremely important for the lives and safety and property of the people of Louisiana, as well as their ecological value and economic value in terms of our fishing industry. New Orleans and the south part of Louisiana, in fact, all the way from the Texas border on, has the largest seafood industry in the United States of America. That's right, the largest. And it's a big blow when those wetlands are destroyed, because that delays and destroys this economic benefit that can be there, as well as, again, the ecological value of these wonderful places in the United States of America. I do believe in ecology. That's one reason why I'm so concerned about, frankly, the European people, our white race. You know, we're an expression of nature, a beautiful, unique expression, both the aesthetic vision of our people, the spiritual vision of our people, the intelligence of our people, the qualities, the personality of our people, I think are very, very precious, and they should be sustained. I think all people on earth have a right to be sustained, and I think our people, obviously, have that same right. On to another subject, and by the way, you need to send me an email. Please give me a comment on any of these subjects, and you can do that at info44@davidduke.com. That's the email address right now. Remember, you can always go to davidduke.com, hit the contact button or the email button, and you'll have the current email address. We change them quite often because of spamming and all the rest of it. But this way, I'm always able to get your emails. I personally look at your emails every day, and you can have a direct contact to me through these emails, and you can certainly offer questions and comments about the program and ideas. Please email me directly. And, of course, you can post on stormfront.org, the town hall section. Don's been doing a great job, and I know, by the way, that Don's has some trouble with his credit card charging companies. Again, they're trying to – it's really a this Jewish effort to shut down even their right to use a credit card is and right to have credit card access as a business is absolutely, I think, a violation of federal law, but that doesn't make any difference anyway. Anybody thinks you're going to get much resource from the courts, you got to be crazy. Sometimes people say to me, they say, oh, you know, if they lie about you, if the Jews make these stories up about you, just go sue them. You can just sue them. They have no idea what's going on in the legal system of this country. In the first place, America's structured that you can sue somebody, certainly. But to win a suit, you know, you have to prove they knew what they said was not true. If they said that they read it someplace else, they believed it, because you're a public figure. So, you know, you have everything working against you if you try to sue anyone for libel if you're a public figure. And that's not counting a person like I am. I mean, my God, I mean, you have automatic hostility from the minorities in any sort of jury that you would be able to assume. You'd have hostility from the judges involved. If you did win, you'd probably get thrown out when a judge reviewed it on a higher level where the jury has no say-so. The court system is not on our side in this country. And if you lose, say if I sued the SPLC or the ADL for a lot of the lies they tell about me, say I did that, and I lose the case. So they have lawyers. Their lawyers will be getting $500 to $1,000 an hour. Their legal fees will be $1 million. If I lose the suit, I am liable to pay their legal fees, and therefore I go bankrupt. We lose the little facilities that we have, the equipment we have, the library we have, even maybe the stock of books I have. I mean, that's not going to do our cause much good, is it? But that's a typical example of how that there's so little knowledge among so many of our people about how things work. I hear this all the time. Well, all we got to do is we just have to – my lawyer also hears this. I have a very good lawyer named James McPherson, considered one of the top 50 in the United States. And he says he hears this all the time. People will contact him and say, boy, all we got to do is file this suit and, you know, challenge this law such and such, and, boy, everything is going to be hunky-dory and we can stop the immigration or stop the income tax. And he always tells me, he says, you know, we don't have – you know, the court system is not ours anymore. And in terms of federal prosecution, it is controlled by the enemy. You have to deal with that. And sometimes it makes you have to take very hard choices, such as plea bargains, when you realize the power of the government. You know, you can stand on a principle and say, well, I'm not going to sign anything. I'm not going to take a plea bargain. But the government's got all the power. And if you happen to lose, you can spend the rest of your life in a predominantly minority prison with not even a decent typewriter to use to write with. I mean, it's... that, you know, we are in a strange battle, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to do what we have to do, and we've got to understand that we're fighting an unprincipled enemy. And sometimes you've got to play the game. Sometimes you've got to take your losses. You can't win every battle. Sometimes you have to retreat, regroup, and go back against the enemy at some other vantage point of your choosing, not the enemy's choosing. And people do need to understand that and consider that. So there's a lot of different aspects. I know I've gotten some criticism from different people about different aspects of my life. Heck, I'm not a perfect man, but let me tell you something. My life's been dedicated to organizing our people, educating our people, motivating our people, and teaching the reality of the hypocrisy and the evil of Jewish extremism and supremacism, which is having such a terrible impact on our society. And speaking of that, my article about Rabbi Shmuley Botach, or whatever, I don't know how he pronounces his last name. He's now challenged me to a debate. Great, I'll debate him as well, anytime, any place. I debated him before on his radio program a couple times in Virginia. And I will debate him again. I'd be happy to. I'd like to have some taped copies of the debates. I think you'd all enjoy, in fact, to hear the debates I did with Shmuley. He should make those debates available to you. I don't have a copy. He's got copyrights on his own show's debates. But the Shmuley, you know, debates were excellent on his radio program. And I'll debate the individual again. I think he has an indefensible position trying to integrate the white Christian areas of Utah. I think he should first try to integrate the Jewish areas. Here's a guy who, you know, demanded that the Jewish settlements on Palestinian land, which was stolen, by the way, from the Palestinians through military conquering and occupation, that this land is full of Jewish settlements, and many of these settlements are only for Jews. You know, Shmuley is not resettling the African-American refugees from New Orleans. He's not offering to settle them in Israel or to make them into Jews, is he? You know, he says that race makes no difference, has no impact, but for some reason, you know, I don't think he's going to be shipping those people over to Israel on the condition that they convert. You know, we have a double standard going on. Israel is a segregated state from top to bottom. It is a state that doesn't even legally recognize the marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew, which, of course, offers tremendous legal and economic and other hurdles for couples in that state who do want to marry. You know, I'm not saying that Israel necessarily should not have that law. They've got the right to have whatever law they want. If they want to keep Jews pure for 50,000 generations, they've got the right to do that, ladies and gentlemen. They can do whatever they want to. But I don't like it when they're having that kind of a policy in Israel, and then having a completely opposite policy and promotion for the United States of America. You know, Shmuley is all for, you know, that we integrate America. And Mr. Brooks, David Brooks, another Zionist writer of the New York Times, said that Hurricane Katrina has given us, you know, it's a silver lining in this terrible tragedy, that it's given us a chance to integrate the African Americans into American society. Culturally integrate. Well, let me tell you, Shmuley is not all for this cultural immigration of Muslims and Palestinians into Israeli life, is he? No way in the world. In fact, he's really more radical than people like Errol Sharon. And Errol Sharon is nothing more than a mass murderer, you know, a war criminal. I mean, the guy is one of the most insane, heads of any nation in the world. And the idea that this guy could be welcomed to George Bush in the White House and they sit down with tea and crumpets and state dinners for this war criminal is crazy. Errol Sharon should be before the court tried with war crimes. But he's not. And he's not simply because we have a situation going on in America where the Jewish supremacists dominate the media and they're able to convert people like Mr. Sharon into now peacemongers, from warmongers to peacemongers. Menachem Begin is a perfect example of that. Here's a guy that talked about the Deir Yassin massacres the Deir Yassin massacres in the foundation of Israel. And he took part, and he was a part of the bombing of the King David Hotel. That's right, the blowing up of a hotel in Jerusalem. It was a mini 9/11, a terrorist. And yet he was able to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, and by the way, for peace, which never really came about, because in those agreements and everything, it was certainly agreed that the Jewish settlements would not continue, that the Palestinians would have their land back and their rights back. But anyway, he gets a Nobel Prize. I mean, a terrorist gets a Nobel Prize. The guy responsible for the death of men, women, and children and terrorism gets a Nobel Peace Prize. We live in a crazy world, but it's only possible. This kind of a world is only possible where these hypocritical Jewish supremacists and extremists have so much influence in the media around the world. The media around the world, which would tout someone like Menachem Begin to be a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. So anyway, let me go to some of the emails. And I got my volume up a little high. Maybe my microphone's a little too close. I'll bend that back a little bit for you. I want to keep this program free of distortion. But let's go to the main email. And here we go. Here's Ashley, and she's actually a student at Minneapolis Community Technical College, and she says that she's the honor of writing a research paper on my life. Well, great. I'll provide her with some of that material, and thank you, Ashley, and thanks for calling it an honor. That's very nice of you to say that, I'm really happy that so many students. I get these kind of requests almost every day from students around the world who are doing research papers or studies. They read the material, and you'd be surprised how many students, once they read my stuff, really come to admire the work we're doing. This is from Cybertext, New Jersey. It says, New York Post, page 6, Shmuley Boutique will debate David Duke anytime. What an opportunity for Dr. David. see the article on the National Vanguard website. I looked for that article there, and I didn't see it. Maybe somebody can point that out to me. But boy, I'd like to debate him again. This is another one on this subject. This is from James. He says, your recent editorial Beyond Chutzpah addressing Rabbi Shmuley Boteach was priceless. I do not always agree with your particular approach to the concerns of European Americans, but in my opinion, you sure nailed that Jewish bigot's mouth shut. I hope you take him up on his offer of a debate and rip his perverse agenda to shreds. That's from James Jordan. Well, thanks, James. Here's another one on this. This debate thing is getting going, and I'd love to debate the guy again, so let's see if we can get all this worked out. I saw a National Vanguard where Rabbi Shmuley wants to debate you. When is the debate going to take place? I hope on your web broadcast. That would be great, but I think Shmuley will not have the guts to show up. You have the truth in your side and documentation to back it up. On another note, what's going on with Ernst Zundel lately? With all the Katrina news, I hope he hasn't been forgotten. Where is the best place to voice my outrage at his situation? I've already wrote to the German embassy. I think keep writing them. And I suggest that to all the people here. Write to the German embassy and consulates all over this country. In fact, you can write all over the world. You know, put it in some nice stationery and protest this violation of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of expression. You know, and really come down hard on what's going on against Ernst Zundel, a man that's trying to put in jail for years for simply having a different opinion about certain historical facts and historical issues of the Second World War. And the fact that there has been, in fact, I read recently, and I'm not sure if this is true or not because I haven't documented this fact, but I've read that there are supposedly 100,000 people in Germany who've been into court or prosecuted one way or another on the so-called hate crimes and hate laws about expressions of, quote, anti-Semitism or expressions about the Holocaust or some sacred cow of the Jewish supremacists. You know, that's a terrible thing, and that's probably has got to be a record in world history that 100,000 people being imprisoned for simply voicing an idea or having an opinion that the powers that be don't like. That's a lot of people, and that's real oppression, and it's of course the furthest thing in the world from true free speech, obviously. Obviously. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how are we doing today? I think we're doing pretty good here. I'm worried about my folks back in Louisiana. I think that Mandeville and Covington might get a little wind itself as long as that storm continues to go to the west. I don't really wish it on those people out there either. I've got some good friends. I've got a very good friend out in DeRitter. She goes by the first initial M, and she's helped in my office so much. She's been invaluable to us in Louisiana, and I hope that everything comes out okay for her and her property and her 7 or 8 cats. She is an animal lover, and she takes in a lot of cats. Let me see here what we have. Okay, this is from John. He says, dear Dr. Duke, why does not Rabbi condemn? Why didn't he condemn and encourage his fellow Jews in the areas of Long Island and Florida to accept these thousands of blacks into their neighborhoods? Better yet, why didn't he encourage his fellow Jews to give up their overrepresentation in the Ivy League schools and let these poor, oppressed blacks get a good education? Nothing wrong with a little affirmative action, huh? Keep up your fantastic work, John. Well, good question. What in the hell is this guy going from New Jersey to Utah to promote the integration of the New Orleans African Americans into the all-white communities out there? Why isn't he in his Jewish communities back home? There's a lot of big communities, Jewish communities in New York and Long Island. I mean, this is, talk about chutzpah. It's absolutely insane, but then again, that's the way it goes. I got another letter from National Idag, which is the newspaper up in Sweden, from Richard Carlberg. He says, send us some pictures of what's going on down there, and he said he wants to especially thank me for the radio program with Robert Almgren. Robert Almgren is leader of the Swedish youth in Sweden, and it's a very good show. You can catch it on our archives on the David Duke Live Internet web show. So if you, after this program's over, if you want, go in there and catch the interview with Robert Almgren. A very good interview. And by the way, That young man in Sweden is basically one of the many thousands of reasons why I put up with what I put up with the smears, the attacks, the hardship, the threats, the physical attacks, everything. And I tell you, it always is a financial burden. I was saying earlier, Don Black and Stormfront have a very bad financial situation right now, and they need your help. And very much. And we have a bad situation right now, frankly, because of the storm and the hurricane. We still don't have power at our office. We've not been able to get out our mailings. We've not been able to receive much mail. We haven't been able to process our credit cards yet. We're going to be able to do that soon. So please, help us there. But, we've got bills that keep coming in. Like any organization, it takes money to put out our publications. It takes money to pay the rent, the mortgages, and pay for the equipment, and pay for everything we've got to pay for, the electricity and the phones, and the whole ball of wax and the people that help you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need help, and so does Don. And these organizations, I think, are critical to help. And I'm not saying you shouldn't help other people too. If you got individuals in the cause that need help, a family, help them. But certainly let's keep this movement going. We are myself and Don Black and Stormfront is one of the very few organizations that are really reaching people around the world effectively. And going back to Robert Almgren, he's one of those thousands of reasons why I put up with what I put up with, because he said in the interview, which was very encouraging to me, he said the fact that my book, My Awakening, that it absolutely inspired him, educated him, and really led to his dedication in this cause. And I'm so happy and I'm so pleased whenever I hear from people around the world that say that. Now, of course, I'm happy no matter how they find their way to our cause. But obviously, I'm very pleased when they find their way to our cause through my work and writings on davidduke.com, stormfront.org, in my books, materials, in the David Duke Report, in the videos and tapes we do, everything that we do to try to get out the truth and the knowledge out there to our people. This is interesting. This fellow wrote Rabbi Shmuley, and it's from Tim in Pearl Harbor, Florida. And he said, "Dear Rabbi, I find it interesting that in Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler complained about the Jewish people bringing Negroes into the Rhineland for the purpose of bastardizing the German race. Is your plan to racially integrate the white and non-white population in America based on your belief that non-whites are stupid? You're free to believe what you like, but what would motivate you to promote racial and cultural diversity for others but demand a racial state defined by ancestry for Jews? As a gesture of goodwill, would you favor sending flood-ravaged blacks from New Orleans to Israel, where they might find a Jewish husband or wife? Do we think we should racially integrate Israel? If not, why the double standard? A response would be appreciated. Thank you," from Tim. And that's a pretty good letter. And everything he says makes excellent points to me. Of course, they won't even integrate with other people who are Semites. The Palestinian people. They won't even accept them in their society. They won't even accord them equal and fair rights. So it's just amazing. Here's a letter from an individual, Joseph, who writes to me about the Jewish porn industry. One of the other articles on our site recently where a Jewish writer was talking about the fact that the Jews have dominated and they really changed porn from an obscure and a disreputable tiny industry to mainstream American industry. They made it truly part of Americana. Another great blessing of these Jewish extremists, right? And he says, "I cannot understand how our government allows the porn industry to exist. Mr. Bush could stop all terrorist activity if he'd stop supporting the Jews and put an end to porn instead of doing the things that, allowing these people to do the things they're doing, which are causing the death of Christian children." And that's true. I mean, there's no question about that. That these and I talked about it in the article. There's been Jewish porn rings where they've actually killed Christian children. And I do think that the child pornography and a lot of the other sick pornography, again, which is primarily a Jewish industry, it's overwhelmingly a Jewish industry. It's certainly whets the appetite and increases the danger of some of these perverted individuals who would threaten, you know, our children. All right, this is from Dave, and he's writing to us from Canada. Dave, good to be with you this evening. He says, congratulations on the successful completion of your dissertation. Not that you needed to have any more credibility on as a successfully elected political figure, but it's nice to see you advocating educational advancement to our race by your own example. I'd like to draw your attention to a Canadian broadcaster, in quotations, who is known as a pillar of the supremacist Jewish community. Her name is Zelda Young, and she has a daily one-hour show on Chin FM, CHIN-FM, which, of course, is a multicultural radio station. And she broadcasts on Chin Radio, and he gives the address, www.chinradio.com. You can listen online to her show if you wish, and just to get a taste of her hatred. I've listened a number of times to inform myself of the activities surrounding their agenda, and I've witnessed her deep hatred for everything non-Jewish. She has many times blasted people and defamed their character. Obviously, you are a common target. In addition, she has started petitions and political initiatives to force the Canadian government to do a variety of things, from declaring Hamas a terrorist group and revoking their charitable organization status to publicly calling the Doctors Without Borders organization an anti-Semitic organization, all because they have helped the many displaced Palestinians in occupied Palestine with their medical needs. This hateful woman who does not hide her contempt for non-Jews and has for 25 years been a major force in the supremacist agenda in Canada. Her various efforts to suppress the truth about their agenda and how the Holocaust industries have been a major force controlling Western foreign policy and domestic hate crime laws have been quite effective. Anyway, so he goes on and he says, we need, you don't have to be a Canadian citizen to file a complaint. And so he's urging people to file a complaint on this to the CRTC, which is the Canadian, and I don't know exactly what those letters stand for, but you know, we'll try and get some more information on there. Again, there's always a double standard. I mean, I always talk about it this way. A perfect example is Germany. Ernst Sandel is on trial simply for arguing certain technical aspects of the Holocaust and giving a different point of view on the causes and reasons for the war, and they wouldn't put him in jail for years. And yet this Jewish professor named Goldhagen can write a book called Hitler's Willing Executioners, which is a book that says Germans have within them some sort of seed, some sort of a characteristic that's in their blood, so to speak, in their genetics, in their very essence, that makes them murderers and killers. And this book is published in Germany. But I can tell you one thing, Mr. Goldhagen would not have any problem about going to Germany. Another good example is Mr. Wiesel. You know, Mr. Wiesel is, you know, one of the Nobel Prize winner, one of the Holocaust writers. I guess he's the premier one now for sure since Wiesenthal's death. And Wiesel or whatever you want to call the guy. And I can tell you, it's amazing to read his writings. He's one of these Jewish victims of the Holocaust who, when the Russians were coming in from the east, the Nazis offered the man either freedom to be liberated, so to speak, liberated by the Soviets, or to come back with the Germans to Germany. And right in his book, he says, well, he went back with the Germans. Now, here's a guy, if he really believed that the Germans were mass murdering everybody, I would think he would take his first opportunity to get out of Jewish custody and control. But he didn't. And by the way, he, during the last days of the war, had hurt his foot. And he was in the hospital for weeks, if not months, at Auschwitz. Now, here's the, at one point, you're supposed to have this policy where the, you know, the Germans were murdering everybody who couldn't work and they were trying to kill all the Jews. But here's a Jew who's got an injured foot and they put him in the hospital and nurse him back to health for months and months and months. The same thing happened, by the way, with Wiesenthal. He, in the custody of the Germans, he actually tried to commit suicide. Now, here's the Germans supposedly trying to wipe out all the Jews off the face of the earth. A Jew commits suicide. And what do the Nazis do? Well, they nurse him back to health. You know, they try to keep him from dying from a suicide. You know, that really kind of breaks up the image, doesn't it, that people have. So there are questions, certainly, surrounding the Holocaust, and I think that people should approach it with an open mind, and certainly we must have freedom of speech. Dave goes on to say, he says, just wanted to make our community aware of this program in Canada. Keep up the good work. We thank you very much for it. Okay, let's go to Stormfront, see what we can find here. In fact, I haven't even gotten the last post yet. I've been so busy this evening. I've been checking up on the hurricane and trying to check on a few friends. But the problem is, of course, I can't get through on the lines right now. So So that's pretty bad. All right, we have a few posts on the gangster rap labels, the anti-white labels. Let's see. This is from Hawthorne. He says, "I'm concerned, Dr. Duke, I'm concerned about the threat posed by Asians, especially the Chinese, for world domination. When I was in college, it seemed like half the students studying science and engineering were Asian. When we look at China, Japan, and South Korea, they are prosperous countries and very racially homogeneous. Thanks for your extensive research. And we see what the Jewish supremacists are doing to dismantle Western civilization, but what about Eastern Oriental civilization? Why does it seem like the Jews hate only white Gentiles? If the Jewish supremacists achieve their dream of tearing down the United States and Europe, wouldn't this clear the way for China to dominate the world? Or do you think that Asian countries also fall for the Jewish supremacist ideology? So far, it seems like globalism hasn't hurt Asia like it's hurting the white world." Well, the Asians obviously have been maintaining the integrity of their heritage. If you go to China, it's an amazing country, 1.3 billion people, and my friends, it's all Chinese, and you have to admire them for that. But I think when you talk about people who are nationalists, whether they're Chinese or whether they were Japanese or any other people around the world, if they're truly nationalists and they're not deceptive and infiltrators like, you know, we've had from the Jewish supremacists who tell us that they're our friends, but that wrap their arm around us and then stab us in the back, who support, like Rabbi Shmuley, integration for America but segregation for Israel. I think that we can find a way to have a detente and kind of get along with them. I don't think, though, we should be transferring all our industry and business, and whether it be our computer industry and other vital industries, to that part of the world. I think that there certainly will be a competition between Asians and Europeans and others for domination in the world. I mean, this has always existed on the planet before. I don't think we need to go to war. I think we've got to try to avoid that with every bit of our fiber. And we have enough of this world to do what we need to do. We can still go to space with exactly the part of the world that we have now. You have Europe as an all-European society, and North America as an all-European society, and Australia and New Zealand, and maybe even again South Africa, which was originally mostly European until the birth rates came in there. And that's really enough, to tell you the truth. And many South American countries, I think, some South American countries are certainly European in heritage, and they can certainly work to even make that a higher percentage. And many countries do that. I mean, countries, certainly the blacks and the Mexicans are working in America to make America a higher percentage, you know, Mexican. The blacks certainly, they've even talked about the threat of diminishing the birth rate among blacks. We've got to keep the birth rate high. I mean, I've got those quotes. In fact, I have a quote from a black welfare head in New Orleans who talks about that very subject. It says that lowering the black birth rate by expecting blacks to be fidelitous and not be on welfare and not have illegitimate children is nothing more than a genocide. But if they can do that, and Jews can talk about increasing their numbers and preserving their numbers, why in the world can't white countries have policies that simply work toward increasing the percentage of their country which is of the majority ethnic group? You know, and the truth is, when are we going to learn that we've got to adopt those kinds of policies, not to oppress others, and we need to find fairness and justice for all people. But because if we don't, and other people do, we lose. And by the way, we are losing America. This is from Jared. He says, "Dr. Duke, National Vanguard cited a New York Post article which stated that Rabbi Boteach wants to debate you. I personally would love to see this happen. I'm positive that you would tear his double standards to shreds, much like you did in that excellent article. By the way, your article really opened the eyes of those close to me who are hitherto indifferent toward Jewish supremacism. Thank you. Respectfully, Jared." Yes, Jared, this is the kind of article that can really make an impact on those people who you've been trying to reach but have not been able to reach yet. I mean, his chutzpah and his double standards and his hypocrisy have to make people a bit angry. It has to open their mind. And the only reason their minds are not open yet is because they don't know about it. And, of course, my article takes it and puts it in very simple, readable, and understandable terms. We lay out this hypocrisy straight down the board. And anybody that's got a shred of intelligence, and I wish that was a higher percentage of people, but there is a percentage of people that are intelligent and can see and understand an argument when they see it, and can also overcome a little bit of their inborn biases. Are some people who try to be open-minded. And a lot of people are very biased for the Jewish situation. They get in church that they're the quote chosen people of God. They don't even the pastor is not quoting the New Testament quotations where it says exactly the opposite. You know, for instance, the quotation from Thessalonians where it says, "And the Jews killed the prophets and crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and have become the enemy of all men. But God's wrath has come upon them at last." Heck, ladies and gentlemen, if that was in any other book, that would be called anti-Semitic and be banned. And I tell you, eventually they will try to ban the New Testament, just as they did when they controlled Marxism and Bolshevism in the Soviet Union. But anyway, they have this bias. They've seen a million renditions of Jews on television as innocent victims of mean, terrible, vicious, you know, white racist anti-Semites. They've seen a million renditions of the kindly, wonderful, expressive and generous Jew on television programs and movies and all the rest. They haven't seen many movies and documentaries about, you know, the Jewish masters of this degenerate and perverse porn, which has so hurt so many lives, not only in our country, but around the world. They haven't seen the movies about their role in organized crime. And they have dominated organized crime more than any other national group in the world, more than Italians, more than Sicilians. Of course, you don't see any movies about Jewish organized criminals in that sense. They even cover up the so-called Red Mafia from Russia and call it the Russian Mafia. It's a double lie. It's not Russian, and it's not the Mafia. And it's actually Jewish. So they protect the Jewish image in the minds of the people, their public relations. At the same time, they just besmirch Russians and associate Russians with organized crime. You know, these are the kind of subjects that we can really educate people on. And this is not about hating, you know, the average Jew that's next door, the Jewish dentist that one of you goes to, or some, you know, old Jewish lady who you run into in the supermarket once in a while. You know, this is about the Jewish extremists who dominate the Jewish community, who dominate almost every major Jewish organization, and in turn dominate our society as well, and literally have got us now in this bloody, horrible war in Iraq, which is only damaging the true interests of the United States in every area that you want to name. It's killing our boys and girls. It's maiming tens of thousands of them. It's causing America to be hated around the world. It's helping Al-Qaeda. It's costing us hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, do I need to go on anymore? It's causing higher oil prices because of the danger of the oil supplies, which can get blown up over there. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is no interest to us whatsoever to be in Iraq. This was totally and purely a Jewish war. And it's going to end up, these kind of policies are going to hurt everybody. And as it's been said in history, like Israel Shahak said it so well, that these Jewish extremists end up, not only do they damage the Gentile community, but they cause a reaction for Gentiles, which end up damaging also those Jews who are not acting improperly. And there are certainly some decent Jews out there, you know, but certainly Jews need to take responsibility for their own community. It's like whites have to take responsibility for our own community. And if a Jewish person, and this, you know, it's not enough to not be, for them not to be a pornographer, or not to be in the mafia, or not to be a communist, or not to, you know, be an advocate for the Iraq War. You know, if they continue to support Jewish organizations with their money and support that do all these things, then they're acting against, you know, the people that they live among. They're acting against us, and they got to take responsibility. And So Jews that I know some Jews, and over the years who have been pretty decent people. I know some Jews have actually stood up against, you know, Jewish supremacism, and those Jews that do that I admire, you know, and there's not very many of them, I can tell you. But I would expect the Jew, if they wanted to be close friends to me, with me, I would expect them to speak out and try to work against the Jewish leaders. And not support Jewish organizations that are doing these very, very evil things against Europeans and Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. I've enjoyed being with you. I'll certainly be with you tomorrow. I'm going to try to get as my guest tomorrow a very famous revisionist and very famous scholar I'm going to work on that very hard, and I hope he's going to be able to make it. I won't give you his name yet, but I hope to see you again tomorrow night. Until then, I just tell you, please work to get this information out. The Shmuley article is continuing to roll. Go ahead and post that to about 1,000 forums tonight before you go to bed today. And if you're in the wake of the hurricane, to my good friends in Louisiana and East Texas, you know, God bless you, and keep yourself safe, your family safe, and keep yourself sane too. That makes some sense too in the midst of this craziness in both our society and with the weather. And if you stay around your home, if you don't evacuate, if you're in a dangerous area, you should evacuate, by the way, because nothing is worth your life. But if you stay in an area that is probably going to have some damage but no threat to your life, you know, keep your powder dry. Keep your weapons locked and loaded, and be on the lookout, because these storms set loose a lot of the denizens that we've had in our society. And so there's a real danger for yourself and your family. Okay, that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for everything, and I will be back with you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.